And I would like to welcome now Linda Siegel. She is here with today's legislative update. Welcome, Linda.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
So we have, as you characterized it before we went on the air, a very busy legislature in which not that much is actually getting done.
That's right. We've got 12 days left, and as far as I can tell, very few bills have passed from one chamber over to the other. So mostly people are doing bills in their own house. And with 12 days left, that doesn't give much time to actually have hearings on the in the other chamber. So there's lots of busyness, but the main thing we have to get done is the budget.
Yes, every year we talk about the budget, and lest your eyes be glazing over out there in radio land, the budget's really important.
It really is. It's $6.1 billion into the New Mexico economy. Obviously, it's our tax dollars and then being spent on the various projects that most people value.
And so, are there multiple budgets that have to be reconciled?
Well, actually, what's happened and what will happen today on the floor of the House is the big House Bill 2, which is the state budget, will be heard, and the word is that it will pass, although along a very partisan vote. Because the problem for Republicans is that the 42% of the budget that goes to public education, they don't really like how it's been appropriated. And part of that has to do with putting what we call above the line, I think we've talked about this before, putting money into the education budget that would go into the unit cost. The state equalization guarantee is what it's called. So that's the amount of money that a school district gets for every one of its students. And really, the superintendents and the school boards in New Mexico, they like to get as much money per student as possible, and then they get to spend it the way they want to. But there's philosophical disagreement because the administration would like to see more money below the line where the Secretary of Education can control it and put it to projects that they value. So that's going to be the battle today on the House floor over House Bill 2.
And so what are those debates like?
Well, they're interesting because budget bills never get amendments. The big House Bill 2 never gets amendments.
That's part of the rules?
Well, that's part of the way it works.
Uh-huh.
And there'll probably be multiple amendments, or at least there'll be a lot of discussion about where the money got appropriated. But the word is that there are the votes to pass it over to the Senate Finance Committee, where they will look at it and see what they want to do with it.
So there's all this money about education that we're talking about, but then there's also actual education bills that are separate from budget bills.
Oh, absolutely. And interestingly enough, in this 30-day session, there's quite a few bills. There's probably 700 bills, memorials, constitutional amendments introduced. Well over 250 a chamber. And so out of that, 150 or so are education bills. And there are some ones that rise to the top because there might be dual bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. And one of those is a truancy bill, the one where you can take someone's driver's license away if they're truant. And so
why does that make everybody laugh every time you say that? No matter who you say it to, everybody laughs.
Because it sounds like a good idea, but it's really going to be hard to do administratively. I mean, it doesn't sound like a good idea to the students who testified in the hearing the other day about that. But one of the truancy bills is dead in the House, and the other one is alive in the Senate. So what does that mean? Probably when the alive one goes over to the House, it will be dead. The Senate Joint Resolution 12, which is the one to go into the permanent fund and take more money out for early childhood programs, that passed out of Senate rules this week. And that goes on to the next committee, which I believe is Senate Judiciary. And then it will go to Finance, where in the past, bills like it have languished, we shall say.
Yeah.
third grade retention. Remember, we've been talking about grade retention for not being able to read for 3 years now. And, of course, there are two bills, one in the House, one in the Senate, again, about trying to hold back a student against a parent's will in the third grade if they can't read. And there's all nuances to that. But, again, one has not moved from one chamber to the other.
You know, why third grade? I mean, you're supposed to be reading by the end of first grade. Why don't we just start, like, teaching kids to read so that we don't have a problem? You know, that would be... Oh, and also, basically deal with grade level at every level.
Yes, yes. Well, and there have been bills in the past, and one of these even does say that, okay, provide reading intervention in the first grade if someone can't read, provide it in the second grade if they can't read, provide it in the third grade, and then if they still can't read, retain them. But, you know, providing this extra education costs money, so where's that money going to come from? But we need to do it.
Why don't they just teach them to read?
Yes. Well,
I'm sorry.
And some people...
I don't get it. I just do not understand why first grade teachers aren't teaching their students to read.
Well, I think they are, but some children need a lot more. They need reading intervention. And if the school doesn't have the money to do that, it's not going to happen.
So these bills have been languishing for 3 years. In fact, the children who were listening to this show in the first grade... are now in the third grade.
Waiting to be retained. Okay, there's another bill about high school equivalency credentialing. Did you know that we always talk about the GED as the way you get a high school diploma if you haven't actually graduated from high school, but GED is a proprietary name, and there are all kinds of these other equivalency tests. And
it's a private company?
Yeah, it's not really the way that you get a high school diploma if you didn't get one. So there's a bill to say, let's use all the other high school credentialing entities and not just use GED.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And then in the higher education realm, we have the lottery scholarships, where we still don't have one bill emerging as the solution. We have all these multiple bills with multiple ideas of solution.
What's the problem that we're trying to solve here?
The problem with lottery scholarships is that we don't have enough money to provide them at the level that we have been providing them. Because if you're a student who graduates from a New Mexico high school, and you have a certain grade point average, 2.5, you are eligible to get a lottery scholarship and go to have so many, I believe it's 8 semesters of school at one of our local higher education institutions.
Okay.
But we've run out of money, and part of the reason is that because of the recession, because of many factors, colleges and universities have raised their tuition, and particularly the four-year institutions have raised their tuition appreciably. Now, we at the community college have hardly raised our tuition in the 5 years. So there's not enough money. They're going to have to dip into the general fund to get money just to bail out the fund for next year. But they need to come up with a solution. 12 days left. We still don't have it.
Ladies and gentlemen, buy that lottery ticket. I used to buy lottery tickets.
And have you ever won?
Not yet. But you can't win if you don't
buy. You don't buy.
Anyway, go
okay.
Ahead.
Guns. How about guns
in
the Capitol?
Yes, I was just reading about that. So right now, you can walk into the Capitol with 73 loaded firearms strapped across your chest, and that's legal, is
yes.
that right?
Yes. Well, it's always been legal to have open carry in New Mexico, where you can carry your gun, your machine gun, not necessarily your machine gun, but your AR-15, over your shoulder and walk around anywhere, except the liquor bars, I think.
Well, you can't go into court.
Or courts, yes. You can't go into courts. But in the Capitol last year, when we were doing all the gun control, a lot of people came up with their guns, and it made other people nervous.
Well, also, I mean, I think if I recall correctly, there were sort of intimidation factors, like there would be gun control bills and the anti-gun control people would come in armed.
Yeah, that was, and people were concerned about that. Nobody was whipping out their guns and intimidating. It was just that people had their guns, and it was a bizarre thing to walk down the hall and everybody had guns on, because it's not what we normally see in the Capitol. So out of that came some complaints by constituents to both House and Senate people. So they tried to, in the Senate, pass a rule, not a law, but a rule that for the Senate you couldn't have open carry in the Senate. And that rule died in the first committee. Now the House, on the other hand, they also proposed a rule for no open carry, and that bill passed out of the committee.
Okay.
So what it might come out to is, okay, you can carry your gun on the Senate side, but you can't carry your gun on the House side.
Very interesting.
Yes, we'll see what happens there.
And there's some gambling bills.
Yes, this is something that was discussed in the last legislative session, or in the interim committee, I guess, in the compact committee of the interim committee. And the Navajo tribe has been negotiating its contract with the governor, and the way that works is the tribes that already have gambling casinos, they had negotiated their contracts years ago, and Navajo has gambling now, and they've been working on negotiating their contracts. And the way it works is that the negotiation happens between the governor and the tribe, and then it goes to the legislature for an up or down vote. You don't get to amend it. You don't get to change it anyway. It's vote for it or not. And the committee, a couple days ago, voted 12-4 to send the agreement to the House and the Senate. But there's been some controversy about it because it allows for Navajo to develop 3 more casinos. And some of the other tribes don't like that because that would be competition, and the anti-gambling people don't like it because it means more casinos. But it looks like they're going to get a vote on it in this session.
All right. Crime bills.
Well, some highlights. I think I mentioned the other day that there are quite a few crime bills along with education, but a couple of them that we seem to have a lot of trouble getting ahead of. Last year, Senator Sue Wilson-Befford introduced and a bill was passed trying to deal with these designer drugs, the things that mimic marijuana or mimic cocaine, and they're synthetic and they sell them anywhere. And they create them, and then we pass a law to keep them from being sold, and then they create a new designer drug, and then they start selling that.
So it's basically they're not regulated until people know what they're regulating. So you
right.
can synthesize anything you want in the laboratory and then sell it until a law tells you not to.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And we're having a hard time catching up with it. So there's another bill with a whole list of these concoctions that we're trying to make illegal.
Very interesting.
And then next year there'll probably be some new concoctions that we'll have to make illegal.
And who knows who's making them and what their labs are like? And
nothing. We know nothing about them.
What, oh, God.
What kind of unadulterated things are in them? We have no idea.
Yeah, and adulterated things.
So we have to specifically name the ingredient and then make it illegal. And so we're trying again to do some more of that.
That's like trying to keep ahead of computer hackers.
Yes, absolutely. There's really no way to do it.
Interesting.
And you don't want to just pass a broad bill because that would be unconstitutional.
You can't make stuff.
Yeah. You can't make stuff to smoke. And speaking of smoking, you know, we have the e-cigarette bills, which are it's this brand new product with this vapor, and you got this fancy little instrument where you suck on it, and it takes vapor through a little vial which has nicotine in it, and so you get your nicotine fix, but you're not inhaling, quote, tobacco smoke.
And you're not producing tobacco smoke to those around you.
That's true.
Why would they want to limit those?
Well, there's a good reason to. But the thing is that it's totally, because we don't have a law, it's totally legal for five-year-olds to go buy them and go around smoking their electronic cigarette or e-cigarette. And they do have nicotine in them, which is a tobacco product.
Which is an addictive product.
Which is addictive. And so we got little five-year-olds. Of course, I'm being facetious, but there are, like, teenagers go to the wherever they sell them. They can sell them anywhere and buy them. And then they're smoking nicotine.
People use them to cut down, so they get them with less and less and less nicotine, and then they get down to zero, but they still have the oral fixation thing.
Well, it's not like you can buy a vial of progressively less nicotine.
Oh, I thought you could.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's part of the problem, and there's no labeling required for these little vials of nicotine.
Yeah.
And we don't know what else is in the vials.
Right.
There could be all kinds of other chemicals.
They might be collaborating with those other people from
with the synthetic
the
drugs,
last bill,
yes.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of bills to just prevent people under the age of 18 from buying these electronic cigarettes.
All right.
And it's kind of controversial because there's the tobacco industries who the big tobacco companies own all these e-cigarette companies. So there's some controversy about how that will best be achieved and how we will control the little vials of nicotine.
All right. Now, speaking of big tobacco, whose power is lobbying public officials, there's some bills limiting the lobbying of public officials.
Oh, yes, isn't that fun? And these bills have been tried for multiple times, multiple years. Common Cause has worked on these bills. But there's a serious bill this session to limit elected and certain public officials from going to the legislature and lobbying until they've been out of their position for 2 years. And there would be a penalty for that for the employer. So if you wanted to
hire... The revolving door problem.
Yes, the revolving door that Congress seems to have a lot of.
Yes.
But this would prohibit, or it wouldn't prohibit necessarily, but it would create a penalty for an employer who hired, like, a legislator that just left their term and then wanted to be a lobbyist.
Finally, capital outlay.
Right. We know that this is always, along with the budget, one of the most important aspects of any legislative session. And capital outlay is that thing we call pork. And it really is important because there's over $600 million of capital outlay from various pots, like the GO bond pot and the severance tax pot and the general fund pot. And the governor has said she wants to spend a lot of it on water, so there appear to be a lot of capital outlay projects for water projects. And then, of course, every legislator gets their little pot. And the Senate gets a bigger pot and the House gets a smaller pot, and then they get to pick what they want to spend that money on. And most legislators, they're going to give money to the city, the county, the public schools, their community college, and other community projects. And once that bill comes out, then we see where everyone has decided they want to support. And that's coming out soon.
So next week we can talk about the pork feeding frenzy.
Yes, indeed.
Linda Siegel is with us every Friday speaking of, actually it's the legislative update. Speaking of the arts, it's coming up in just a few minutes. When is the session over?
The 20th at noon.
The 20th at noon. So we've got another couple.
So today's the 6th. We got 12 seven. More. Is it 12? 14? 14
yeah.
more days?
Yeah. So
yeah,
yeah just,
14 more days.
Just under, yeah. So we will see you here in the baking company, Linda
yes.
Siegel. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.